And then through those mountains, and all of a sudden, God upsetting his back. And that's the way it was beautiful. And coming from Minneapolis, they had all the way, we got here starting a little darker, but this whole area, it was just beautiful. Pastor Doug, thank you for allowing me to come. And I think the folks here in that church are a very friendly. And that probably started this afternoon's approach a number of years ago. This is not my first time to be at this church. I came by to visit a few years ago when one of the men in my church picked me and my wife up. He didn't like my wife enough at the airport, and we did 3,000 miles on Alaska. We went to boot, went all the spurs, and we ended up at camp. Out of all the things I remember about that. Well, I remember another thing, but I do remember it was so cold. I had a big fire and I was sleeping. I started out away from the fire, but I just kept getting closer to that. So I could warm up a little bit. I did bring something with me. If we have any preachers, a preacher, a missionary, or I'd like to give you.
But how friendly the people were, and which speaks very well of the folks here at Independent Baptist Church. That and I noticed the kids, how friendly they were, and they shook my hand, and they look you in the eye. And that is such a blessing. Well, I've known Brother Terry McGovern for a while, and there's nothing I wouldn't do for Brother Terry McGovern, and there's nothing he wouldn't do for me, so we spent a lot of time doing nothing for each other. But he's a great guy. And his mother lives in our area, and I met them on a couple of occasions. But when we were out at the camp and spoke at the camp there, and I remember they said, sometimes bears come walking through here. Another good reason to get up close to the fire. Anyway, would you turn to Psalm 23? Now, you don't know me and I don't know you, so we get to learn each other this week. And I like you already, and I hope you like me by the time we're finished. On Wednesday night. That would be such a blessing. And I hope the Lord just gets in the thing and stirs our hearts and has His way in every heart in life. And I don't know of any church that doesn't need revival. I don't know of any Christian probably that doesn't need revival. And we're living in a day when churches are not the same. And our culture is not the same. You know, culture is really a religion fleshed out, lived out. We used to have good culture in America. That's because we had good religion in America. And then all of a sudden, our religion in America, and I use the term, as you, I think you'd understand it, a little broadly. I don't tell people I have religion. I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But religion is what sort of governs our nation in a spiritual kind of way. When we had good religion in our country, you know, there was a time when unsaved people knew what to do when they would get saved. You didn't have to beg them to go to church. They knew they were supposed to go to church to get baptized. What do I do next? You know, today, that's certainly different. And so we have an unusual culture here. I got saved when I was 19 years old. I was serving in the United States Navy. Everybody has to eat. I'd go through the chow line, and the cook was a Christian. And he'd witness to me. And down in my heart, I knew I needed what he was talking about. Because I'd gone to church as a kid, and they invited me to go to church with them one Sunday morning, and I said, no, I don't think I'll go. I went upstairs, and one of my friends up there had gone to Wheaton Academy when he was a little kid. And I said, hey, Joe, you want to go to church today? He said, yeah, I'll go. I went back downstairs, and I said, hey, we'll go with you. So we went to church, and that day the preacher, little country church, Indian Creek Independent Baptist Church, Robert J. Amory, an unusual guy, godly man, he preached gun barrel straight, gave the invitation. My heart was just jumping. I wanted to go forward, but I didn't go forward. I grabbed the back of that pew, and I, one of those white knuckle deals, just held on. After the service, the cook said, "Strange, I thought you were going to get saved today." Well, I didn't say anything because I was about to cry, and I didn't want to cry. And a few days later, I had the kind of job in the Navy that gave me some free time, so I got a job helping a farmer on my days off from the Navy. I was on the back of a John Deere tractor, old hand clutch, and I'd heard in the Bible the sinner's prayer was, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I stopped this tractor. I bowed my head, and I said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I said, "No, God, don't save me now." I grabbed the hand clutch of that tractor. I took off, made a few more rounds. God's still working in my heart. I stopped the tractor the second time. Did the same thing. Bowed my head. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." "No, God, don't save me now." You see, I had a date that Friday night. And for some reason, I'm thinking, if I get saved on the back of this tractor, I can't have that date. And so I had the date. Was it the gal I married? But a few days later, a fellow from Illinois came by my bunk. He hadn't been saved all that long, but he had been growing. And he was reading to me on how to be saved. And he said, "Strange, you want to be saved?" And I said, "Well, read some more." So he read some more. "And you want to be saved?" And I said, "Yes." On May the 7th, 1962, I did tell God I was a sinner. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. He changed my life. I never thought I'd go to college. I just grew up in Kentucky, joined the military under the buddy plan. About the only school I knew of after I got saved was Bob Jones University years ago. And so I went to Bob Jones University, and that's where I met my wife. Now, you have to understand, I'm from Kentucky. She's from Michigan. We met in South Carolina. We live in Florida. We are confused. I like sweet tea. She likes unsweet tea. I'm a guy. She's a gal. I'm a husband. She's a wife. I'm a father. She's a mother. I'm a grandfather. She's a grandmother. I'm a great-grandfather. She's a great-grandmother. But I tell you, we do have one thing in common. We got married on the same day. And that in August the 1st, it will be 53 years ago. And I tell our people, it's not a record, but these days it's not bad. And the Lord has been so good to me. I pastored a church in Lexington, Kentucky for about 15 years. And then I went to Fort Myers, Florida, and I've been to church there for 31 years back in February. And the Lord has just been good. And it was through there that I met Stan Roach. Since I've been there, I met Brother McGovern. Now I've met all you folks, and what a blessing it is. So I thought in the Sunday school hour today, we would just do something that I would hope would be helpful to you. And that is, it's such a familiar passage of Scripture. Would you turn to Psalm 23? Psalm 23 is one of those passages, now believe it or not, it could really change your life. A lady went to see, she'd been to psychiatrists, she'd been here and there, been on medications and so forth, and someone suggested that she go see the preacher. He was the last resort, but he was a resort, so that was good. So she came in and she laid her problems out before him. He said, "Sister, I'm going to give you an assignment." And here it is. I want you to read Psalm 23 5 times a day for 2 weeks. You read it when you get up. You read it mid-morning. You read it noon. You read it mid-afternoon. And you read it before you go to bed. 5 times. It's not very long. But when you think about this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." 5 times a day. Actually, I preached Psalm 23 on the first Sunday of January 2017 to my people. And I challenged them to read Psalm 23 five times a day for those 2 weeks. You'd be amazed at what Psalm, you know, we just sang scripture songs. And the reason you sing scripture songs is so that the scriptures can get in you. And I love the one you just sang about, and I will go in the house of the Lord to inquire of His beauty, to behold His beauty and to inquire in His temple. You know, when you go to the house of God, you ought to go for two reasons. One, just to behold the beauty of the Lord. And the other is to learn something, to inquire. It is amazing, I have found, that when you sit in a church and the preacher is preaching from this text, whatever the text may be, and you have a burden or need in your heart from another place, and he wasn't preaching about that, but God spoke to your heart about that. There's something about the Spirit of God taking the Word of God when the man of God preaches to the people of God. He is to lead us into all truth. And you learn that in church. You remember Asaph, the choir director? He said, when I got to thinking about the wicked, he said, I thought, this is not right. This guy's wicked. He didn't love God. He didn't serve God. And everything's going well for him. He's got a good job. He lives in a nice house. He rides a nice chariot. And his kids are well clothed. And they eat well and all this. And I'm trying to serve God. I'm working down at the church in the music department. And things are not going well for me. He actually said, my feet had well nigh slipped. One thing in that man's credit. When he was struggling in his heart, he said, and this is true for all of us that are Christians. When you have your little doubts or whatever, and you get a little put out at the Lord, keep it to yourself. Don't go around telling other people, because you're liable to get the victory over it, and you planted something in their heart and life, and they didn't get the victory over it. So he said, I just kept it to myself. That was to his credit. And he said, I just don't understand it. Until I went into the sanctuary. And they said, in the sanctuary, God showed me their end. He showed me where they're going. And He showed me where I'm going. You know, we should never begrudge the unsaved people having a pretty good life, because this is as good as it's going to get for them. And sometimes when we go through a little difficulty, you have to understand this is as bad as it's ever going to get for us. Here is as close to heaven as they're going to get. Here is as close to hell as we're going to get. Now, the good thing is they can switch and get on the right side. And we hope that they do. So, if you would, turn to Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, I don't know what all your need is, but whatever it is you need, if you need rest, who doesn't need rest today? Jesus said, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest unto your souls. If you need refreshment, if you need restoration, if you need guidance, if you need peace, if you need companionship, if you need comfort, if you need provision, if you need blessings, if you need happiness, if you need heaven, it's all in Psalm 23. Now let's read it together. I quoted it a while ago. Let's just read it. And see if you don't see rest, refreshment, restoration, guidance, peace, companionship, comfort, provisions, blessings, happiness, and heaven. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, can you say that? No, I mean, can you say that the Lord is your shepherd? That's what I'm saying. It's okay to say it. The Lord is my shepherd. Did you know that the Lord is a shepherd? You know, today, young men are going to colleges and they're trying to make kings out of them. You know, when you come out of college, you're going to be the head honcho, and you're the king, and you're going to say jump, and they're going to say how high, and you're going to say da da da. And I was telling him that I was reading a guy, Andy Stanley, who's Charles Stanley's son. I just read a little interview. I don't follow after that guy. But here's what he said. I'm not a shepherd. I don't know a shepherd. If Jesus were alive today, he wouldn't be a shepherd. He would be a CEO. I thought, that is idiotic. Jesus would be a shepherd. And he is my shepherd. And a CEO is interested in the bottom line. A shepherd's interested in sheep. You know, you pray for your pastor that he would always have a heart for the sheep. I had a lady in my church. She was from West Virginia. You were from West Virginia too, weren't you? I told Pastor Stan, I said, the reason that West Virginia is almost heaven, it's next door to Kentucky. But this lady was from West Virginia, and she was a great gal. She gave me a statement one time. Probably other than the Bible, I have quoted this statement from that lady more than any other. And here's what she said. Now, this is brilliant. She said, Pastor, they're just acting like people. I said, Carolyn Lee, that's brilliant. That hadn't caught you yet, has it? They're just acting like people. Why do they do that? Well, they're just acting like people. That is so true. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, if you ask a kid, but if he's a shepherd, then he's got sheep. Would you agree with that? Does it make sense? If he's the shepherd, you've got sheep. If you ever asked a kid, what animal, if you could be an animal, what would you like to be? Now, you think a little girl might say, well, now, if I were a meek, I could have my own built-in fur coat. A little boy might say, you know, if I were a kangaroo, I could hop everywhere I want to go. Or if I were an elephant, I could squirt water out my nose. Boys talk like that. Do you think any kid would say, man, I'd like to be a sheep? Never heard anybody say they want to be a sheep. Nations. Nations, they have symbols. The national symbol of America is an eagle. In England, it's a lion. In Russia, it's a bear. One place has a dragon, but you never saw the national symbol of any nation, a sheep. But the Lord is my shepherd, and we're his sheep. The Lord is the good shepherd. That's in Psalm 22, who gives his life for the sheep. It's what he said in John 10. I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. In Hebrews 13, he is the great shepherd who is raised from the dead. He lives. That's Psalm 23. The shepherd in Psalm 23, he died in Psalm 22, he's alive in Psalm 23. And when you come to Psalm 24, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King who is coming again. And that's what 1 Peter says. He is the chief shepherd. So the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I've heard before that it's very difficult to make a lamb mad. But if you ever get him mad, you've got a little trouble on your hands. Jesus is meek and mild. He's the lowly Jesus. But don't push that. No, he is the Lord. And he is meek. And he is the lowly Jesus. But he is Jesus. And he has given his life for the sheep. He lives for the sheep. And he will one day come again for his own. So, now let's continue reading. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now you notice in this little psalm, it starts out, the Lord. It ends up, the Lord. And in between is all these other little good things that bring us rest and restoration and refreshment and guidance and peace and companionship and comfort and provision and blessings and happiness and heaven too. You'll notice when you read in this psalm, the first three verses, he says in verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's talking about the Lord. Then you notice in verse 4, 5, and 6, he changes that. Now he's not talking about the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. When he says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He's talking to the Lord. We should never go too long without talking about the Lord. And we should never go too long without talking to the Lord. When you read the Bible, just read the Bible. David, these guys, in just normal conversation, in normal everyday living, they talk about the Lord. They talk about what God's done for them, how good God is, how God has helped them. When you get to Paul, same thing. They're living their life just on a daily basis, but they live their lives in the awareness of the presence of God. We should always not go long in our life without talking about the Lord. Now, I know sometimes we talk about, let's go have some fellowship. And we've all done this. And so we're going to go down to Dunkin' Donuts. You don't have Dunkin' Donuts in Anchorage, but it's okay. Go down to Dunkin' Donuts, you're going to have a cup of coffee. And I don't go to Dunkin' Donuts for the donut. You can tell right now I don't need another donut. But I do like their coffee. But you go down to have a little fellowship. And we've all done this. And we can fellowship for an hour or two or so and never even mention the Lord. But we can talk about the Kentucky Wildcats. They lost. But we can talk about this. We can talk about that. And we're having fellowship, but we never talk about the Lord. And I'm not talking about being some weirdo. I'm just talking about being a Christian. That we ought to talk about something that the Lord has done for us. How the Lord has worked in our heart. How the Lord has changed our life. David, when he gave this psalm, the Bible has a lot to say about the name of the Lord. I love Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Do you all sing that Christmas song? That one? Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. His name is all that he is. His character, his being. And what a strong tower. Now, for the rich man, his strong tower is his wealth. And wealth has a way, biblically, of taking wings and flying away. And there goes your strong city. There goes your strong tower. And if man builds the tower, another man can destroy it or a storm can get it. But if the Lord is your strong tower, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. So there's just something about that name. You know, if you were to talk about the name of the Lord down at work, you're actually really making a line. And you're taking a stand. Sometimes we can work someplace for years on end and never talk to anybody about the Lord, never say anything to them. And then when they get saved, then all of a sudden we go up and say, hey, man, I heard you got saved, and, you know, I'm a Christian, and I want to invite you over to church. Wait, you're a Christian? How long have you been working here? X number of years. Well, I've been working here X number of years. You never told me before you were a Christian. What an indictment that is. Now, I'm not fussing at us here, folks. We've all done that. You know, we've all gone time and again, without telling people about the Lord. Just talking about the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower. And so David uses in the Bible, when you read capital G-O-D, that's God. El, Elohim, the strong one, the creator God. Sometimes it's all caps, capital G, capital O, capital D. And that's another form of God. Sometimes it's Lord, capital L, O-R-D, or capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And when you read it like that in the Bible, each one of those names means something different. The all caps is Jehovah. And then sometimes he's the Almighty God. He's the El Shaddai. He is the Most High God, or the Everlasting God. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. He is Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He is Jehovah Roha, which is this one, the Lord is my shepherd. Or Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. He is Jehovah Shabbat, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. All of those are in Psalm 23. They're in there in, for example, if he is our righteousness, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If he is the Jehovah Shalom, our peace, he makes me to lie down beside still waters. Just at rest, at peace. In the presence of mine enemies, he is Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. I was just preaching in our church through the book of Malachi. And I was struck. When I'm reading the Bible, I try to look for things that are repeated. I was struck at how many times in 55 verses the name the Lord of hosts was mentioned. In 55 or 56 verses, it is mentioned 25 times. Now, the Lord of hosts is God's fighting name. Have you ever heard of Smokin' Joe Frazier? Now, trust me. On his birth certificate, it does not say Smokin' Joe Frazier. I don't know whether he's Joe or Joseph or whatever, but it was something like that would be on his birth certificate. Where he got the Smokin' Joe Frazier was in the fire in his fists. Boy, that's pretty hot. And he just, it was his fight name. It was the psychological edge. Smokin' Joe Frazier. I'm going to come out on fire. Well, I want you to know that the Lord of hosts is God's fighting name. And you read in those few verses, four chapters in Malachi, how many times his fighting name is mentioned. And then I read through Zechariah, and I couldn't believe how many times the Lord of hosts was mentioned in Zechariah. And then Haggai, how many times it's mentioned there. Now, those three books, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, are the last three books of the Old Testament. The people have been in captivity. They've come back. And for a while, they were doing pretty good. And then God said, you know, you do such and such, I'm going to do such and such. But they stopped doing such and such, and so God stopped doing such and such. Then they got mad at God. And they accused God of not loving them. They accused God of not caring. They accused God of whatever. And then their service to God was so weak. When they would bring their sacrifices in, it would be an animal that was bleeding, sore, lame, pus running, maggots around it or insects around it. And they were bringing that to the Lord, and then they didn't understand why God did not accept that. Because they said, hey, it doesn't matter. If you do right, it doesn't matter. Where is the God of judgment? But it does matter. And so God, what amazes me about all of this is how patient God is. You read that throughout the whole Old Testament. People were forever doing something wrong. It's a good thing that you and I were not God. And I'm not even trying to hint of being blasphemous about that. But, you know, one of the things that we don't like about God? Now, we don't come out and say this. Here's something we don't like about God. God will be gracious to people we wouldn't be gracious to. They don't deserve grace. Well, that's the whole point of grace and mercy. And we don't, since we wouldn't be kind to them, we don't want God to be kind to them. And so when God shows kindness to them, we'd be like the prodigal's brother. I never disobeyed you, and you never gave me money for a party or a kid for a party. Remember the lady from West Virginia? Pastor, they're just acting like people. That is just so amazing to me. Now, I hope the time we get through here, some of you are going to take the challenge to read five times a day Psalm 23. And you may be struggling with some things, and you may be fighting some despondency and fighting some depression and fighting some downtime, and you don't know what to do. When you read, I read about a guy who went to see the preacher. He was really discouraged. And all joy is gone from his life. And he said, preacher, I don't know you. I just need to see a preacher, and I picked you. I'm so discouraged. My life's a mess. And the preacher said, you know what? The circus is in town. And now this may not be the guy's name, but Freddie the Clown is in the circus. And he is known for making people laugh and be happy. I want you to go down to the circus and watch Freddie the Clown. And the guy said, Pastor, I am Freddie the Clown. See, that guy needed not Freddie the Clown, because he was Freddie the Clown. He needed Psalm 23. He needed to get a shepherd. And when you learn about what God does, let me give it to you one more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many days does He follow us with goodness and mercy? All the days. Really, from birthday to death day, and all the days in between. Those good days, goodness and mercy. Those bad days, goodness and mercy. What about the day you get fired? Goodness and mercy. You know, goodness supplies and mercy forgives. We don't understand what God is doing sometimes. I illustrate it like this. You can raise your hand on this. This is not a trick or anything. How many of you have ever had something that happened to you, and the day it happened, you said, this is a good thing? And about 4 or 5 months later, you said, that wasn't so good after all. How many of you had something happen like that? How many of you ever had something, when it happened, you said, man, this is a bad day. This is terrible. But about 4 or 5 months later, you said, that wasn't so bad after all. It turned out to be pretty good. How many of you ever had that happen? Well, you see, by our own admission, we don't even know what's good or bad anyway. My son-in-law is a salesman, sells on off of eBay kind of things. But he got fired as a truck driver. Now, I don't know why he got fired. He was just a truck driver. And he went home, and man, he was discouraged. And told my daughter, his wife, about getting fired. Now, you know, the Bible says a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. And she said to him, John, you've always wanted to go into business for yourself. You think right now might be a good time to do that? Now, she could have destroyed him. She could have put him down. But she said, why don't you go into business for yourself? Well, he did. Now, this is the day he said, this is the worst day of my life. When he went into business for himself, he started selling things on eBay. And his biggest client was the U.S. government. He started out selling CB radios, and it went from this. And he would tell you that day that he thought was the worst day of his life turned out to be probably the best day of his life. You know, that happens with us. So the next time something happens, you know, before you get mad at God, Lord, you're in charge. You said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If that clock is right, I'm stopping. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. May Psalm 23 be a blessing and encouragement to all of us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.